June 11th, we have a Shavuot service, a celebration of historically the giving of the Torah in Judaism as it's celebrated today, but of course also Acts 2, the Shavuot. Getting the slides up there, you can see it. There we are. Thanks, Miranda. There we go. So it's going to be a great celebration and time, children processing the Torah. We'll have the Torah on display. Then I mentioned June 4th, that's the week after. Is that next week? Yeah, it's next week. A picnic. It'll be kind of, if there's enough interest, just basically a loose going. We'll just be going over to Edwin Warner Park. Whoever wants to, bring your own food. Nothing really highly organized. We don't even have a pavilion at this point. So so those that might just want to spend some time together, go over there. It may be crowded. It probably will be crowded. But we'll tell you next week where to kind of try to congregate and see what happens if there's enough interest. just in the after service, a little after service, probably another hour and so. There's other things going on, but I do want to mention that I did send, finally, Miranda put me on, so I'm administrator with Kol Dodi Facebook, Messianic Congregation Facebook. Now, somehow there's a couple of ones. One we need to get deleted, so offer Miranda help if you can help get that deleted. No, anyway, but we do have one, and I'm finally able to, so I can start communicating, getting things out just, you know, spontaneously at different times. And I did put on there that Thursday, June 9th, we're going to have our staff meeting, like a planning and helping meeting. That's a Thursday night from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Looks probably here is where we'll have it. If you'd like, we just want to get more of you involved that want to help with things, and you have ideas maybe, and things are on your heart you'd like to see happen and help make happen congregationally. So we'll probably trying that twice a month on Thursday nights, if that works out, that time works out well, rather than the daytime, so that those that are working during the day can participate in that. So come and get involved. Put it on your calendar. I don't know if it's on the bulletin, but it's June 9th, 6:30 p.m. And turn to Leviticus, if you would, now, 25. Leviticus 25, where we read earlier. And as I always pray, we pray, Gale nai v'avita niflaot metora techa, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your word. Speak to us through your word, B'Shem Yeshua, today. Amen. Amen. So verses 2 through 5 says, speak to the children of Israel. It says, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land is to keep a Shabbat. So a land Shabbat, keep a Shabbat to Adonai. For 6 years you'll sow your field, for 6 years you may prune your vineyard and gather its fruits, but in the seventh year it's to be a Shabbat rest for the land, a Shabbat to the Lord, to Adonai, to Hashem. You are not to sow your field or prune your vineyard. You are not to reap what grows by itself during your harvest, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. It's to be a year of Shabbat rest for the land. How amazing, a Shabbat rest for the land. So just a little background on this before we get to some application of observance of the Shemitah. Let's say the word Shemitah. You could spell it different ways in English. There's the Hebrew. Shemitah is the sabbatical year. And this reminded Jews that we were merely tenants with temporary rights to farm divinely owned property. All right, Psalm 24:1, the earth is whose? The Lord's, and all that fills it, the world and those dwelling in it. So they were not to plant, prune, or gather in the sabbatical year, in the Shemitah. During the seventh year, the land was to lie fallow and be freed from cultivation. The rabbis in the Talmud regarded the Shemitah and the Yovel, let's say Yovel. Yovel is the Jubilee year, the 50th year. regarded these, both of these, sabbatical and Jubilee year, as applying only to the land of Israel, based on Leviticus 25:2, when you come into the land that I give you. They were not to cultivate the soil, prune trees, reap anything that grew by itself, or gather fruit like figs or grapes or olives, etc. Now, Rashi, a great Talmudic rabbi, of course, claimed that the exile of the Jewish people to Babylon, the exile was due to their neglect of the sabbatical years. And Jeremiah predicted 70 years of exile in Babylonia to make up for the 70 sabbatical years the people neglected, our people neglected, during the approximately 500 years that we lived in the land. And the verse on that, interestingly enough, 2 Chronicles, toward the end of the Tanakh, the 2 Chronicles 36:21. So we did not do very well at keeping this mitzvah, this law, actually didn't do it. And I'll give you what I think was really the reason for that. And so God said the captivity, through Jeremiah, that was because of that, to make up for all those years of neglecting keeping the Shemitah. In modern Israel today, most rabbinic authorities have permitted Jewish farmers to sell their land to non-Jews for the Shemitah period, and in this way cultivate the land as non-owners. Sort of sounds like on Passover, right? The leaven, what we do with the, you know, you give it to a non-Jew or sell it for a token price to a non-Jew and then buy it back afterwards. Kind of cheating, kind of getting around the law. Many observant Jewish farmers in Israel do indeed let the land rest according to the Shemitah laws. In addition, most observant Jews will not allow the consumption of, or purchase of produce that was grown during the Shemitah year. I didn't check this out more, but hydroponic farming, plants with their roots in water instead of soil, is permitted and done in large quantities in Israel at that time. Also, much produce is imported for the dati, the observant Jewish population. So, quite an interesting law, and let's think about it a little bit. Why do we burn out? Anyone ever experienced burnout? Don't raise your hand. anyone ever experienced burnout? Why do we burn out? Possibly, we take on more than God gives us. We take on more than God gives us. But it may be really also because we do not stop when God has told us to. Kind of like you're driving, pull over to the side of the road, stop and get perspective. Regather, be renewed, and then go forward reinvigorated. Now, in sports we do that, in athletics we do that, physical training, you take breaks, you hydrate, make sure to hydrate, in a sport event, you call a timeout, right? And you get perspective, and you get yourself, because maybe you've been caught up and you're losing, so that's a big important time to call a timeout, you're not doing well. Get perspective. There are times in our lives when we need to say, two letters in English, N-O, thank you, no. Whether it's to requests, to opportunities, or to demands. And God has designated Shabbat for a reason. He designated a land Shabbat for a reason. Now, think of what happens when you don't sleep for a week, or you don't sleep for even a night, perhaps. What happens to you? What happens to one, either any of us? What's that, David? David gets really weird. Okay, that's true. We all do. Thank you, David. Yeah. I mean, we get irritable, right? You might get sick, of course. You don't get enough sleep. You're very vulnerable to getting sick, easy to get sick. And we definitely cannot focus and be productive. Look at Isaiah 40, if you would. Isaiah 40. Turn there. Verse 31 says, those who wait for the Lord, those who wait for Adonai will renew their strength. They'll soar up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Go back to 28, verse 28 of chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hashem is the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives strength. By the way, I'll just stop for a second. You know, don't you love it in Hebrew? If you're learning Hebrew, what are the days of the week in Hebrew? How do you say Sunday in Hebrew? Yom Rishon, day, first day, right? How do you say Monday in Hebrew? Sheni, right? Yom Sheni. Want to try it? Yom Sheni, right? Day two. Yom Shlishi, Yom Arbi, I think, Arbi, and then Hamishi, right? Hamishi. Yom Shishi, sixth day, and then what's the seventh? Shabbat. Everything is counting before up to Shabbat, like the countdown until Shabbat. It's such a part, rather than just giving these names, which I don't know where the origin of the names, I'm sure many do here, but the idea, in English I'm saying, but in Hebrew, you're just saying day one, day two, day, and then Shabbat, stop, rest, time to acknowledge God as, and so think about it. Isaiah here says, God says, the Lord is the creator. He doesn't grow tired or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives strength to the weary, verse 29, and to one without vigor, he adds might. Okay, this is supernatural. This is not natural. This is, he's giving the strength. He's adding the might. Even youths grow tired and weary. That's hard to believe, but they do. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. I'm not going to go into the depth, the details of that right now. But think about it. Think about God's sovereign superintendence. Look at back to Leviticus. Look at the verses 20 through 22 in chapter 25, again with this idea of the Shemitah. He says, verse 20, are you with me? Leviticus 25, Vayikra 25, 20. Now if you ask, this is common response, this is normal, you're going to ask, what are we going to eat during the seventh year? See, we are not to sow nor gather in our increase. What are we going to do? How are we going to survive? How are we going to make it? We can't just do that, God. God says, now I will command what? My blessing. I will what? Command my blessing. Let's say it again. Command my blessing. Vatsiviti et brichati lachem. I will command my blessing to you or for you, and you'll actually have enough, he says here, sufficient so that it will yield a harvest, my blessing to you in the 6 years so that it will yield a harvest sufficient for 3 years. When you sow during the eighth year, you will still be eating the old stored harvest until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. Wow. So what an amazing thing. Now the word blessing in Hebrew, let's just look at that one, barach. Barach, let's say barach. I think I got it a little further. There we go. There it goes up. So the big word in the middle. Again, let's say it. Barach. Barach. Okay. The word in Hebrew, beautiful word, great word. You ready? Blessing means power growth. Now, I did Google that quickly, and there is a bodybuilding supplement, some sort of a muscle-building formula, which I don't know. I don't ever use that stuff, but that's called power growth. But that's what the word blessing means in biblical Hebrew. Power growth, it means to spur prosperity. And actually the word berech, who knows what berech is? I'm pointing to it right here. Knee, yes, from the same root, berech. And maybe the idea because it enables forward movement. It enables forward. So God's blessing enables us to go forward. God's blessing empowers us supernaturally. It's not normal, extraordinary, not ordinary. And look at his ability. Look at God's wisdom in this. God says, I'll cause 3 years of food to be produced in 1 year. So it was a matter of trust, but also of self-restraint. Obedience rather than giving a place to greed. Follow me here. Perhaps when things went so well, I hadn't thought about it before, but in other words, God says the sixth year, I'm going to provide, it's going to triple. It's going to be enough for you to take care of your sixth, seventh, and eighth years, and you'll have enough. So it's not only trust, but it says perhaps things would go so well in the sixth year that we'd say, hey, we're doing so well now, we need to keep sowing in the seventh year. That would be the temptation. Do you see it? God's prospering us, so let's buy more houses. Let's build bigger barns. Luke 12:18. I want you to turn there to Luke 12, and we're going to look at that. Build a larger house of worship rather than send out a third to plant in a needy area. I like it. I read years ago that the Moravians, a Christian group of years, their whole thing in early America, they would actually, when they'd get to a certain size, I think like a couple hundred, they would take a third of their body, their community, a third of their congregation, and they would go send and plant in another needy area. Isn't that amazing? Rather than just try to keep getting bigger, they would plant and start a new. Isn't that great? That's so much God. Save up more money rather than generously give more to missions. Well, we could just keep saving. Look at the principle. It's a matter of trust. Will we trust God to provide as we obey his command? But it was also a test, you see? It was also a test. Will we continue to obey God when he does bless us? Or will we begin to become possessive with his blessings and become careless or take it easy? Again, Luke 12, let's look at it, the story that Yeshua tells here, which I know I haven't used before, or at least not for many years. Look at what prompted the story. Luke 12, verse 13. Then someone from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother. I want Yeshua to get involved in all this, in this internal thing. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But Yeshua said to him, Man, who made me a? He thought that was, that began in the 60s, that man thing, but no, that was way back then. Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? Then he said to them, watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of the material goods he possesses. And Yeshua told them a parable, saying, the land of a certain rich man produced good crops. And he began thinking of himself, saying, what shall I do? I don't have a place to store my harvest. And he said, here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, oh, my soul, you have plenty of goods saved up for many years. So take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. Who was the guy that used to say that? Fool. You fool. Mr. T, that's it, Mr. T. I hear Mr. T when he says, you fool. Tonight your soul is being demanded back from you, and what you have prepared, whose will that be? All your plans. Yeah, you had it all, all your ducks in an order. Everything was fine, you thought. So it is for the one who stores up treasure, Yeshua concludes, the concluding point. So it is with one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Rich toward or in God. I have Rabbi Tzvi in South Florida says this, the mitzvah of Shemitah is similar to the mitzvah of Shabbat and tzedakah, which is charity. The common theme being the demand to relinquish our ability and need to conquer and possess. On Shabbat, we're told to stop producing, working, and creating. Not always an easy thing to do, especially in our busy, multitask society where the availability to accomplish is just a click away. Through tzedakah, charity, giving, we are asked to give away a percentage of our earnings to the less fortunate or to institutions that provide spiritual services to our community. In both instances, we are instructed to give something up in order to realize that ultimately our good and welfare is in the hands of the Almighty. Through ceasing our activities or giving away some of our possessions to others, we learn to overcome the natural tendency to think that what I have gained is solely mine and that my accomplishments are a result of my efforts alone. We come to recognize that in truth, our achievements are gifts from God. Our efforts notwithstanding, as expressed by the phrase, man proposes and God disposes. In a sense, we view possessions not as a complete free-for-all to do with as we please, but actually on loan from the Almighty that requires responsibility on our part. Judaism teaches that I am not the sole owner of anything, but a partner with God, and also his rights to these jointly owned, who also has rights to these jointly owned possessions. This is not... As Rabbi says, this is not an endorsement of Bernie Sanders' philosophy of socialism, but more an awareness that there are two important factors for my success. My total commitment and hard work, but also to God's aligning things that allow me to succeed. After all, we've all had times where we put in the hard work and nothing came of it. Not only do the commandments of Shemitah, Shabbat, and Tzedakah help us recognize that our successes come from God, but they also teach us a bit of restraint, something sorely needed in our society. Developing the habit of holding oneself back from getting whatever may be within your grasp, reach, and capabilities is a crucial trait for one's good, welfare, and health. Just because it's there to be had doesn't necessarily mean you ought to go and get it. We constantly hear of people who suffer the effects of too much food, too much work, too much alcohol, too many choices. And he goes on and talks, homes are not big enough to hold the stuff we own, so we get rent storage units. We have feelings of inadequacy because the person next to me has more nicer things that, and seems to be having a much better time in life according to his Facebook posts. The endless consumption goes on and is never enough. Since I cannot be happy unless I get the latest, newest, greatest, most chic thing that, or cheek thing maybe, I don't know, which, thank cheek thing, which will provide a moment of fleeting happiness at least until the next latest, newest, greatest, most cheek? Chic, thank you, chic thing, C-H-I-C, comes along to undermine the one I own. All right, great points. And then I love this story. Ready for this? He says, the futility of gathering beyond our needs, and the life-sucking distractions they create is poignantly illustrated by a short story by Leo Tolstoy entitled, How Much Land Does a Man Need? It tells the tale of a man who makes a deal which gives him the opportunity to obtain as much land as he can fully encircle by walking during the course of one day with the provision that he must make it back to the starting point or he gets nothing. The man starts out early in the morning, and as he gets further and further out, his eyes catch more and more land, so he keeps on going. It's only when the day is more than half over that he realizes he better make a turn and head back to the beginning, keeping in mind that if he doesn't fully encircle the land, he ends up with none. The afternoon wears on, and towards the end, the man is running. The finish line is in sight, and the sun is setting. He tries to run faster, but his body is exhausted. Finally, with his last ounce of strength, one moment before sunset, he lunges to the finish line, at which point he collapses and dies. How much land does a man need? The burial plot was about 8 feet. God told his people, if they would observe the Shemitah, he said, I will command my blessing. 25:21, Leviticus. When God does this in lives, it has a supernatural dimension, an extraordinary, extraordinary element. It's not normal. It's not natural. In the tithe, we read the verses early in Malachi 3, he says, in tithe and offerings, he says, you're robbing me. You're robbing me. He says, you're just hurting yourselves. You're cursed with a curse. You keep robbing me. Malachi chapter 3, 8 through 11. The whole nation, bring the tithe to the storehouse. Then there'll be plenty of food. Test me, God says in this. He says, if I not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out blessing for you until no one is without enough. And then he says, I'll rebuke the devouring pest for you. You know, and if you haven't been giving, you're giving to God, do it. By the way, we do a lot of support in not only missions, you know, from Kol Adi, and we can give you all that info, you know, Teresa or the treasurer, Kent Rick, we can send that to you. But, you know, benevolence, yeah, thank you, benevolence, and as well as missions. Yeah, we do, and so we do everything we can in that area. And so when you're giving the Kol Adi, you're not only supporting the congregation, but what we, you know, are give out of that as well. But not only Kol Adi, it could be the other groups too that God, as God leads you. But we appreciate your support so we can do what we're doing. But God said, you're just hurting yourself if you are not giving. You will also give the Kohen, the priest, the first of your dough, the first, to make a blessing to rest on your house, Ezekiel 44:30. Psalm 3, verse 9, deliverance belongs to Adonai, to the Lord. Let your blessing be on your people. Think about it. Selah. Think about it. That's the way I translate. Psalm 133, 1 and 3, almost hear the same wording here. Don't we? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in what? Unity, right? Gam yachad, in unity. And he talks about the oil and the dew, the oil descending, the dew descending, Mount Hermon, the oil in Aaron's beard. And he says, the Lord commands the blessing. He commanded the blessing, life forevermore. God commands a blessing. Life forevermore. Psalm 134, I think it's the shortest psalm. No, I think Psalm 117 is the shortest psalm. But Psalm 134 is also really short. Behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of Adonai. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary. Let's do that. Let's lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless Adonai. May Adonai bless you. Now God says, he reciprocates. May God, oh, that looks so beautiful. See all our hands raised to the Lord. Praise the Lord. May the Lord, now God says, God bless you out of Zion, maker of heaven and earth. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble with it. Job 42, at the end of Job's tests and trials, Suras, you know, Job 42, verses 10 and 12. So Adonai restored what Job had lost after he prayed for his friends, and the Lord doubled everything that Job had before. So Adonai blessed Job's latter days more than his beginning at his beginning. And one more verse from the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult. Don't just give it back, but give a blessing instead. It is for this reason that you were called, so that you might inherit a blessing. Give the blessing, inherit, and you'll inherit the blessing. And so, as they observe the Shemitah, God promised his supernatural blessing. God wants to command his blessing on us today. Remember, this word, bracha, blessing, barach, to spur prosperity, to power, empower growth. God gives his blessing as we honor him. And so as we close today, I felt led to, when I prayed this week, I just felt led, let's stand up right now. Let's just stand up. And there are folks that need God's blessing. We all need his blessing. There are folks that need a blessing, especially on our vocations, our employment, whether it's business, initiatives, startups, education, many areas, our health, a blessing on our health, and God can and wants to command it. So will you covenant with the Lord today to obey him, to follow his ways, his words? And really, it was conditional. It wasn't just unconditional. It was conditional. And God says, you honor me, and I'll honor you. Remember that Chariots of Fire movie years ago? I love that one. And he hands him, the guy's about to run the race, and his friend hands him, a Jewish friend, hands him the little thing, and he's down to go in the race, and it says from 1 Samuel 2:30, he says, he who honors me, him I will honor, you know. And he said he respected him. He says he puts God first in his life, and because he wouldn't run on, not, you know, of course, wrong Sabbath, but that's okay. But the principle was he was honoring God the way he understood it, you know. He was putting God first. So Father, we covenant with you, and it's a personal thing with each one, but covenant with you, congregation, we want to put you first. We want to honor you first, Lord. We're not interested. We don't want to be victims of greed. We want to be followers of Yeshua and those who honor your word and can have you bless us so that we can be a blessing. Lord, we thank you. Command your blessing, Lord. Lord, you want to release people today. You want to send, bless their jobs, bless, open up jobs, open up opportunity, Lord, that wasn't there before. Lord, you can do it. You open doors. Lord, Revelation 3:8, he shuts and no man can open. He opens and no man can shut. We thank you, Lord, that you can do all of these things. You want to release people, Lord, and we praise you. We thank you, Lord. So we're going to receive your blessing today. Receive your blessing. We thank you, Lord God. And if you feel that way, just lift your hands to the Lord to receive his blessing. And covenant with the Lord. Say, I'm going to put you first, Lord. I'm going to honor you first. I'm going to put you first, Lord. Your ways first, your word first. Being with your people, honoring you. Thank you, God. And Lord, we receive that blessing, Lord. I'm not going to ask everyone to come forward because it'll be just like everybody. But I'm asking you to do it in your seats, in your hearts. Lift your hands to the Lord. Say it if you mean it, if you feel that in your heart, that you're making a covenant, covenanting with the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Command your blessing, Lord. Command your blessing on your people, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. I will command my blessing to you, for you. Praise you, Lord. Heal marriages, Lord, that are having troubles, Lord. Command your blessing, Lord. Command your blessing. Heal relationships, Lord. Family relationship. Command your blessing, Lord God. Heal bodies, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Command your blessing, Lord. Praise your name. We thank you and praise you. Receive it, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We're reminding you. We're asking you. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Maybe the worship team would just be coming and playing as we close a little bit. I don't know if they, or someone on keyboard. Okay. Elsie, could you come and play? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we're finishing a little early, but we're going to just praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Bless those. Command your blessing. Those that are going, pray for Dr. Martina, who's in Nigeria now, Lord. Bless. Command your blessing, God, as she's opening up a clinic there, God. See Jeff back there, Jeff Finley. Lord, bless him, Lord, as he goes to Morocco eventually, right, Jeff? Eventually. Lord, his mission's heart, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Command your blessing on your servants and people here that have Pastor Ken and Sandy, Lord, the mission, National Rescue Mission, Lord God. Command your blessing, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Can you lead us?